welcome you here. I know we've got a few missing because of ministry other places and some because of their sickness, but you're here, and that's a blessing. And I pray that the Lord will bless you. And I believe that He will. I believe that He's got a blessing for every one of us. And it's so unique in the fact that the same Holy Spirit can convict one person, encourage another one, and direct another one, all in the same service. So we're so glad that you're here. For those that are listening in the parking lot or those that might be listening later on the website, all of you, we're glad that you're in the Lord's house today. Let me pray. Father, it's good to be in your house. Thank you for these who've so faithfully gathered to worship. And Lord, I thank you that you meet us here. Thank you for your presence that speaks, encourages, directs, leads our worship. Thank you, Father. And even as we come into your presence today, we want you to know you're welcome. Very much welcome. We want you to know we love you, Lord. It's the very best we know how. We love you. We honor you as our King, our Lord, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you stand with me today, we're going to sing There's Something About That Name. It is in the hymnal on page 177. It is also up on the board. I picked two Bill Gaither songs today. This one was first published in 1970, and the second one that I picked today is published in 1971. And they were considered contemporary at the time when they were first given to us and first published in the hymnal. So we're going to sing some old contemporary songs today. So if you guys will join me two times twice through, There's Something About That Name. Yeah.
Appreciate Miss Kathy leading the music for us today. Leonard couldn't be with us, so I'll be doing the announcements, the prayer. Remind you, you're invited to come on Wednesday nights to study with us. We don't usually take but about 45 minutes, sometimes up to an hour, but we invite you to come and be a part of that every Wednesday night. If you can't get there every Wednesday night, come when you can. It's always interesting. At least I get a good blessing out of the comments that are made. Also, this Wednesday night, after the service, we'll be having a meeting of the Youth Pastor Search Committee, about 7:30 or so. So if you're on that committee, we'll look for you this Wednesday night. Now remember, what's next Sunday? Homecoming. And Sunday morning will be Sunday school and worship just like normal. And I'll be preaching. I believe the Lord will, he hadn't told me yet what to preach, but maybe we'll get to a message that deals with homecoming or be an appropriate homecoming message. Then 5:30, fellowship meal. And I know some of you are looking forward to that. I am. I cook, but I don't cook as many different varieties as usually show up at these fellowship meals. So I'm looking forward to eating some things that besides what I cook. And so you plan on coming 5:30, and then at 7 o'clock, the singing towers will be singing, leading us in worship, and we look forward to that as a great time. And if you know former members or family members, people out in the neighborhood that don't go to church, invite them to come to be a part of it. Also, remember, September's our month to give our state missions. For over $900 now, I think, has been given. That's really great. You got one more Sunday to give. And I appreciate the fact that so much of the offering goes to our Baptist on mission, because that group is busy all over everywhere. I mean, and every time there's a disaster in North Carolina, or they end up in Florida, they may end up in Louisiana, they may end up in Mississippi. I think they've been to Haiti, other places, and we help to keep them there. And I appreciate your gifts for that. The Golden Agers mountain trip, they've been switched to October the 11th, which is a Wednesday, leaving the church about 8 o'clock and getting back, depending on how much you eat at the Moose Cafe and how many bushels of apples we buy, but plan on being a part of that. You can sign up in the back for that so that they'll know approximately what size vehicle to rent for that meeting. Miss Rosina tells me that October the 8th, after the service, widows and widowers luncheon. So we hope that you'll plan on being a part of that, and you know, if you qualify. I was telling her, when we first moved back, Pam's mama was beginning to lose it, but she could still stay by herself, but they had to disconnect, went and pull the breaker on the stove, because she'd put a pot on there and turn it on and go lay down and go to sleep and forget it. So I got where every Saturday I'd go by McDonald's and get her a ham, egg, and cheese biscuit and one of those potato cakes and take it to her. First time I did it, she said, "Let me pay you. I'll pay you." I said, no. Well, she was just insisting on paying me. I said, "I'm just obeying the Bible." She said, "Obeying the Bible?" I said, the Bible says look after the widows and the orphans. And your parents are dead and both husbands are dead, so you qualify on both accounts." And so every Saturday after that, whenever she'd start insisting on paying, I said, "Did you get married this weekend and didn't tell us?" And she'd just sputter a little bit and then grin and go ahead and take her biscuit. So we invite you to be a part of that. One other thing, you know, the caution tape's off the ramp now and you can use it. And if you, when you see Grant, tell him how much you appreciate it. I know he spent hours preparing the site for it. He spent hours talking with the county inspectors and with the people that built the ramp, where we, the company we bought it from. Now, he may have had some help on some of that. I don't know. But I know Grant spent hours and hours. So be sure to tell him you appreciate it. And I'm so glad we finally were able to get this addition. Any other announcements we need to make? Okay, Jeff wants to see Baptist men front here after the service. Anybody else? All right, what about prayer request? Anybody besides who's on the list? Okay. All right, anyone else? Ruth? Okay. All right. Anyone else?
I got a praise report.
Okay.
Before I had my nuclear stress test, I called Monday morning from the head nurse. He said, out of 50 people we call after this test, we have to give them bad news. He said, whatever you're doing, just keep on doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Not
putting the no good. Anyone else? Rosina? Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, thank you for your omniscience, your knowledge of all that goes on in this world, that there are no secrets with you, that you know every little sparrow that falls, that you know the hairs of our head. Father, you know the dozens of people that are printing on the prayer list here in the bulletin. And Father, you know each person that's been mentioned as we've taken request. And Lord, I thank you for your omnipotence, your power. And I thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, I thank you that every one of these people is precious to you. Father, we thank you for your touch in their lives. We thank you for good praise reports. We thank you that you can touch physical bodies. We thank you that you can touch emotional and spiritual needs. And so, Father, we pray that you'll pour your love and your power into each one of these. May they find your presence sweet. encouraging, and healing. May they feel just totally surrounded by your love. And Lord, we all have prayer requests and for people and situations that we didn't mention and aren't printed. So Lord, I thank you that you can see down into the depths of our hearts and know those that we care about. And so Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of so many of these. I thank you that you're going to receive honor and glory from the way you touch hearts and lives. And Father, I pray for those that ordinarily would be here in church this morning, but because of sickness cannot be here. I pray that they'll just feel, even there in their homes, a sweet, sweet presence of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, our praise song today is Because He Lives. So if you guys will stand up, we're going to sing all three verses. And
I think most of you would agree with this statement. A wise man learns from his mistakes and doesn't repeat them. Would you agree with that? A wise person learns from his mistakes and doesn't repeat them. Now, I know that we've all known people that didn't do that. I've known some ladies, their first marriage was to a drunk who abused them. Somehow or another, he disappeared, maybe death, maybe divorce, and she married another drunk who abused her. And then a third or a fourth. I know some people that lost a lot of money in some stupid, harebrained, get-rich-quick scheme, and then turned around 5 years later and did the same thing with another get-rich-quick scheme. But if we're wise, we'll learn from our mistakes and not repeat them. But you want to know who's really, really wise? It's the person who learns from somebody else's mistakes and doesn't make them the first time. I mean, when we see somebody else make a mistake, mess up, and it doesn't turn out well, and we say, let that be a lesson to me not to do what they did to get messed up like they did. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture and see about somebody's mistake. And see what we can learn from it. Now, before we look at the Scripture, let me remind you of something. You remember when the children of Israel took the promised land, God told them to wipe out all the people who already lived in the land, just utterly kill them all. And we don't understand that from today's perspective. But there were some reasons for that. One was the idolatry that these people lived in. Another was the medical condition. I used to take several biblical archaeological magazines. And in one of them, they talked about a certain Canaanite village that they excavated, and they ended up excavating a cemetery. And I don't know how you tell, but they could tell by the remains that were there that like 100 people that were buried there, about 95 of them had sexually transmitted diseases. And some other things that, you know, would have just been devastating to a population. So the Lord told them to annihilate everybody. There's some other reasons that we won't get into, but there were some reasons. So turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 9. Book of Joshua, right at the beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And we'll start at Joshua 9, verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, took old sacks upon their donkeys, wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, old shoes clouted upon their feet, old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto them and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are you and from whence came you? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was in Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals or food with you for the journey. Go to meet them and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it's dry, it's moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled with new and were new, and behold, they be rent or torn. These our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel of the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were neighbors and that they dwelt among them. Now, Israel had wiped out Jericho and Ai, and so these people in Gibeon lived just over the next hill. And they knew they were probably next. So they came up with a sneaky plan. They took some old, dry, moldy bread. They took on old, worn-out clothes. They took some wine bottles, sacks made out of leather that were torn. And so they show up, and they say, we live way over yonder. And so we'd just like to make a peace treaty with you. We'd like to make a peace treaty. And notice something else. They didn't mention any of the later victories like Jericho or Ai. They don't only mention what happened in Egypt 40 years ago and what happened in Bashan, to Og and to the other guy, Og and Sion. They only mentioned those guys, and that had been years and years. So it's just like we don't know about what happened last week. We don't know about what happened last month. All we know, we came from so far away, we just know what happened 40 years ago. So they came and they lied. They lied about the whole deal. And so Joshua and the other Israelite leaders, they questioned them, but then they believed the lies because they thought they lived hundreds of miles away and that Israel wouldn't have anything to do with Israel. And so they had a meal. They swear unto them. In other words, they made an oath. They made, in a sense, they made a peace treaty with them. They sat down with Eel. They sealed the deal with a meal. And so they said, okay, this is the way it will be. And so Israel did that. And did you catch the mistake they made in verse 14? They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't ask God, Lord, is it your will that we make a peace treaty with these folks? They took everything on surface. They didn't ask God. And they messed up because they didn't seek the will of God. They had no idea what God's will was. See, God would have told them. Some way or another, God would have revealed it to them that these people were lying to them. But they didn't ask. And because they never asked, they messed up. Now, I won't go on and read all of the other what happened, but they go and say, why did you do that? And they said, well, we didn't want to die. And so they became servants. The Bible says like woodcutters and water bearers. In other words, they cut the wood for the Israelites. They brought water from the well. They didn't have spigots in the houses. And so they became really servants, but they lived. All because Israel did not consult the Lord. Now, Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, verse 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. Verse 5, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and he'll direct your path. In other words, he said, don't just trust what you know. Don't just trust what you've learned. Don't just trust your feelings and your emotions. Don't just trust your own understanding. In all your ways, go to the Lord, and ask him, and he'll direct your path. Now, I realize that for a big percentage of the congregation, the things I'm about to mention, a lot of them are past tense. But you may want to share these with somebody that's younger than you, and some of them are still relevant. How did you decide your choice of career? How did you decide your choice of career? You know, some people's decision is, what can I make the most money doing? And they'll spend 40 years in misery just because the job pays well. Some people choose a career because it's just something they're interested in. Some people choose the career because it's what's expected. You know, granddaddy was a doctor, daddy's a doctor, and even though you faint at the sight of blood, we expect you to be a doctor. And they allow the family expectations to shape them into a mold. And again, they're miserable for 40 years. How many of us, whenever we chose a career, chose it on the basis of what God wanted us to be doing? Even if it didn't make as much money, even if it didn't go with what some people thought. And sometimes it causes hard feelings when you go against family expectations. When I graduated from high school, you know, we ran the curb market and we had a really good business. My dad came to me and he says, I'm going to buy my brother's store, which was over on the old Charlotte Road, and you're going to be running it. And we'll just have a Big Oak Curb Market number two. I said, no. I'm going to college because the Lord called me to preach. Now, he wasn't a happy camper, and you didn't like to make my dad an unhappy camper. But I'm not letting him dictate my future for the next 50 years. Actually, 60 or more. Who decides? How did you decide on your career? How did you decide where you're going to school and what courses you're going to take? We go in here because everybody in the family goes to this school? Or we go in here because the Lord directs? I think about our daughter Sarah. With the grades she had and having graduated from the School of Science and Math in Durham, she could have gone to most any college anywhere in the United States. And there's some schools that offered her fantastic scholarships. But the Lord led her to Oral Roberts University. And I'm glad that they did, because she met an awesome young man that became her husband. And she ended up with a lot of scholarship from there. Mostly because of my, I won't say stubborn, but because of my wife. They'd call and say, well, is Sarah coming? Well, she needs some more money. Well, we'll see what we can do. They'd call back in a couple of weeks. Is she coming? Well, she needs some more money. And so Pam kept telling them she needs some more money till they gave her the best scholarship that they had. And she deserved it. She deserved it. But it was all in the will of God. It's where she went to school. What about where you work? The Lord leads you to that place? Are you just there because it's convenient? Or because of how much it pays? Did the Lord lead you there? What about the cars you buy? You know, it's strange. Some people end up with a series of lemons. And some people end up with some good cars year after year after year. I used to drive those. I had several church members when I was at Prospect that worked at Confederate Motors. I used to drive those salesmen over there crazy. I'd say, you know, I'd be thinking it's about time to trade cars. And I'd go over there one day and of course, when you drive up, they all come flocking out the door because they want to sell you something right then and there. And I'd look at what they had and prices, and I'd say, well, I'm going to pray for it. Go home and pray about it. Go home and pray about it? Yeah. And I might repeat that three or four times over a 6 months period before I actually traded. But I'm looking at what God wants done rather than just let some salesman talk me into what he wants done. Same way with the houses you purchased. You're in the house that you, because God led you there? What about your spouse? You married the person you married because God led you to marry that person? Or because they were good looking or handsome? Or could afford you to. I was thinking about a relative. He married this lady that was gorgeous. She worked in a hospital. They stayed married about 6 months and she found a doctor that made more money than this relative. So bye-bye, I'm moving on. What about the will of God? You remember the newsletter I wrote the week after Pam passed away and talked about how many times she and I would stop by West Albemarle Church when it was open and daylight and we'd go get it at the altar. And somehow or another, we always went to this side. I don't think this side's any closer to heaven than that side, but somehow or another, we always gathered on this side and we prayed. God, we want to be in your will. Every time her mama broke us up, and said, you got to date somebody else? We kept praying, Lord, if she's the one, you got to work this out, even in spite of what mama's got in mind. And the Lord did, basis of prayer. I was thinking, I don't ever expect to get married again, but I've learned this, you don't tell the Lord, I'll never do that, or I'll always do that, because he laughs. And I was thinking, you know, I'd never marry a lady that I couldn't pray with. I thought about, you know, getting down on her knees to pray, but if we did, we'd have to get the EMTs to come get us up if me and a 75-year-old woman both got down on our knees at the same time. But maybe we'd sit on the couch and hold hands and pray. Because I want to be in the will of God. I don't want to make a choice based on any other than the will of God. You see, these Israelites messed up because they didn't say, Lord, what's your will? What's your will? What about where we go to church? You know, when Pamela and I moved to Oklahoma, we visited maybe 10 churches saying, okay, Lord, where do you want us to go to church? And I have a sneaking feeling a lot of people aren't in the church the Lord wants them in. These days it's become real popular to go to these mega churches. For a couple of reasons. One, nobody knows whether you show up or don't show up. I can go home and one of y'all call me and say, who wasn't there this morning? I can tell you everybody wasn't here. And most of you can tell everybody that wasn't here. You go to one of those churches, 700, 1,000, 3,000 people, you don't know where you show up. Another reason people like to go to mega churches is that you don't have to do anything but show up when you want to. I mean, here, most of you own about 5 committees, teach Sunday school, and do everything else. And so it's more, I'll say, easy just to go to a mega church. And I'm not saying a mega church is a bad place if that's where the Lord leads. But if the Lord is not leading and we go there, we'll never be blessed like we would if we were where the Lord wanted us to be. And we need to be careful even choosing churches as to be where the Lord wants us to be rather than where we want to be. I had some pulpit committees and I think that over the years I thought, man, I'd love to be there. But the Lord said no. Someone paid a lot more than I was getting. But the Lord said no. I want to be where the Lord wants me to be. You see, these Israelites messed up because they didn't consult the Lord. And if we are wise, we will consult the Lord in all decisions. Now, when you go home today, whether you have steak or chicken, I don't think the Lord cares. But if he tells you no when you reach for that third piece of pie, you might want to listen. But a wise person is going to order his life or her life on what does my Heavenly Father want me to do. And if we make all of our decisions based on what the Heavenly Father is leading us to do, we're going to have a blessed life and we're going to get into a lot less trouble. A lot less trouble. I have a good friend who's a few years older than me. His first wife was a jewel, died with cancer. If I named her, some of you would know her. And he ran off, a few months later and married some lady in his church. And he told me later, he said, she turned into a witch on the honeymoon. Now, he had too much integrity to divorce her, but he lived in misery because he sought not the Lord. He sought not the will of the Lord. He had seen her around the church that he attended at that point, thought she was an okay lady, but didn't investigate. She was on all kind of mind-altering drugs and made his life miserable. Consulting the Lord in our decisions is wise. Watching what others do when they mess up and learning from their mistakes and not repeating their mistakes is wise. And there are far-reaching consequences that these Israelites had for generations because they consulted not the Lord. And many of us, or many people would testify, I messed up because I didn't ask the Lord his will. I might do it for Michael or Chris, but I don't ever want to do another wedding. These couples come in, and usually the girl says, I say, will he go to church with you? No. Does he abuse you? Well, sometimes. Does he do drugs? Yeah. But he's going to quit all of that whenever and go to church with him when we get married. Yeah. Yeah. You think, I just love to lock her in a closet till she gets this foolish idea out of her head. But you can't talk them out of it. I'm in love. Well, wait a minute. What does God say about this person that you're in love with? What does God say? Says they consulted not the Lord their God, and for generations there were problems. The wisest people are those who trust not in their own understanding, their own learning, their own past experiences, but in the will of God. And no matter what the decision is, if we acknowledge the will of God and say, Lord, lead me, there may be some times we'll miss it. We're human. But the Lord will lead us. He will guide us. And we'll come out at the end years later saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be a wise follower of Jesus. If there's a decision that somebody needs to make this morning, we invite you to come. If not, would you just think about your life and thank the Lord for the wise decisions that he led you to make? I know there's some couples in this church that you were meant to be together. And you know it. You're blessed. Thank the Lord for that wise choice that you made. Make a commitment. Lord, I want to be like Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I just do what the Father, I see the Father doing, and I just say what I hear the Father saying. You see, he consistently lived in the will of God, his Father. And let that be our goal, to consistently live in the will of God, our Heavenly Father. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and to give you peace. In the name of Jesus our Savior, amen.